Hello, friends. It's time for Let's Talk About Jesus. I am Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. I do pray that you're having a good day, but no matter what kind of day you are having, the Word of God will encourage your heart, give you instructions how to get through the worst of times in your life. If we will open our mind as well as our heart to receive it today. I just pray you'll stay tuned, because we live in a fallen world. We live in faulty bodies, but we have a faithful Father. If you know Christ as your Savior, you have a Father in heaven, not just a force in the universe, a paternal, personal Savior that loves you, knows you like no one else knows you, and loves you like no one else could possibly love you. So please stay tuned today. If you don't know Jesus, please stay tuned and listen to the hope that we have as Christians in Jesus Christ today. We're talking about a great subject. We're talking about staying Christ-centered in a world filled with trouble, distractions, deception, and particularly discouragement and despair. You know, the Bible said in the last days, men's hearts would fail them for fear, for looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. These are not phobias, unfounded fears. These fears are legitimate and they are authentic, but there is a hope in Christ today. There is a place and a person to look where we can find peace in the time of trouble. And we want you to find that place, and we want you to know that person, Jesus Christ, today. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to what I call last week and will review just briefly this week, a centering psalm, in order to find this place of peace and this person of peace. We need a faith that is able to stay focused even when all kinds of distractions and destructive things even are occurring about us. So that's why I have called what others have called as well, and I concur. Psalm 46 is a centering psalm. It is a psalm that is in the Bible for the specific purpose of helping us keep our faith focused, even in the worst of times. And that is so vitally important in these days that we are living, when so much is occurring in the nuclear family and each family circle, and so much is occurring nationally, and so much is occurring internationally to distract us from that wonderful peace and that confidence that we can live our life with as Christians, even though we are in a fallen world and live in a faulty body. We still have a faithful Father. And this is what the psalmist David said of him in Psalm 46. I'm just going to read the first verse right now today. Listen to this, and you can read down the rest of this psalm if you would. But for time's sake, I'm just going to read in this second installment on this subject of staying Christ-centered in a world filled with trouble, Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Billy Graham spoke shortly after 9/11. Here we are in September, another anniversary of an infamous event that rivals Pearl Harbor in its infamy, and that is the attack on the Twin Towers in September so many years ago, and yet a short time comparatively. And Billy Graham stood before the government officials and congressmen and senators and the President of the United States. United States at that time. Normally, people read from Psalms of comfort, like the most quoted psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23, the great shepherd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lay down in green pastures, and so on. But on this occasion, when so much devastation and had occurred, so much fear had gripped this nation, Billy Graham chose this centering psalm in this time of great catastrophic trouble in America. God is our refuge. God is our strength. A very present help in a particular time. In the time of trouble. You know, this is important to get today, because in the time of trouble, our emotions sometimes are so thrown into great upheaval until heaven seems so far away and God can seem indifferent. We can't feel Him, and many times in that emotional state of distraughtness and distress, we can't seem to find Him. But the Bible says that nothing has changed about God just because trouble has come. And not only is He available to us, He is a very present help when that time comes. Amen. Hallelujah. So today, no matter what the trouble is in your life, God wants you to look to Him. Even though heaven may seem brass, even though it seems that He is different, even though you feel that He might not care about what you're going through because you can't feel His comfort at that very moment, that comfort will come, that peace will come when we are able to set our gaze upon Him and stay focused upon God no matter what. Amen. God is our refuge. I want to declare it as the Bible declares it. That's what I love about the Word of God. It's the way God talks. The way that He inspires men to write about Him. There's nothing vague. There's nothing left to really explain a whole lot, except that what He says is clear and concise. God is our refuge. You know, the Bible said in the Psalms as well, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Praise God. Amen. I've often said it. I want to say it again. We're not running from the devil. We're running to God. There's a difference. Amen. We recognize danger when it approaches, and we go to where we know we can find safety and security. And that is putting our trust unequivocally in our God. Particularly in the time of trouble, He is the closest to us when the trouble befalls us. And we don't always sense that in our natural senses, because God is a spirit. Amen. So listen to me very carefully today. We need to accept His nearness by faith, by staying focused on the truth that is in His Word. Not what we see, not what we feel, but the fact that is revealed to us about God and His relation to us when the trouble comes. I guarantee you, if we can get focused by faith upon His presence in our life, the feelings will come. The peace that comes will be real. It will be so real that it transcends the worry and the fear and the emotional distress. It is a peace that keeps the heart and mind, and it is a peace that passes all understanding. Praise God. I can't fully explain it. The old timers used to put it this way: it's better felt than telt. In other words, until you experience it, there's no one that can fully explain it to you. God's peace passes understanding. We understand peace when there's no storm, no tumult, no trouble. When there is a calm sea and there are no contrary winds, we have a problem understanding the peace that comes in the midst of the most violent of storms. And yet, we feel the same feelings that we would feel upon the calmest of glassy seas. Ah, friend of mine, this is the supernatural stuff. That marks it as God's doing and not man's own ability to lift him up by his own bootstraps. So we're not talking about some kind of transcendental meditation. We're talking about transforming power and peace through a person. Praise God. Amen. Hebrews puts it this way in staying focused. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Wherefore that we are also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith." Friend, this is all about fixing our gaze. One translation says, looking away from all that will distract, and setting our gaze upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to slow down a moment and say that again. Looking away from all that will distract, and looking unto Jesus. If you continue to gaze upon that causes you pain and distress, you will stay in pain and distress. Some people have went through a painful divorce, but they keep gazing upon that event and the pain and the discouragement, the despair, the distress, the anger, all of that unforgiveness. It keeps reoccurring, reiterating itself into the heart and poisoning the soul and the mind. Listen, friend, we need to look away. Let the past be exactly that, the past, looking away from all that will distract and looking toward and to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and who for the joy, it said, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, verse 3 declares, who endured such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your own mind. Amen. I don't know if there's any Christian anywhere that hasn't went through something that caused us to give ourselves a pity party. To think about how this person who wronged me, this person who hurt me, this person who let me down, this boss who let me go, this person who lied about me, this and this and this and this, and I can dwell on that, or I can look away from that to the source of my peace, the source of my courage, the source of my comfort, and that is Jesus Christ. The Bible said to keep from fainting in your own mind. We need to quit thinking about ourselves. Isn't that incredible? We need to look away even from ourselves, our pain, our disappointment, our discouragement, and look to Jesus. And consider him who suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself. Where did that suffering primarily occur? It occurred as he was hanging, suspended between heaven and earth after being beat to almost to death. And now he's hanging on a cross in agony. And when I think of him and his suffering for me, then I can't simultaneously give myself a pity party for whatever I have went through. You know, the Apostle Paul says in the very next verse, you've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Your blood hasn't been spilled through a beating and a crucifixion as Christ endured. So look away from that emotional pain. Look away from that other kind of hurt and look to the one who experienced such excruciating pain for you on the cross. And in doing so, it will break your focus on that causes the pain and reset your focus on him who gives you the peace. Glory to God. And at that moment, God becomes your refuge. Amen. This is where you find the peace that passes understanding. This is where you find the courage to keep on keeping on. This is where you come out of the prison of unforgiveness and the prison of self-centeredness. Friend of mine, self is a great enemy of the peace of God, the purposes of God in your life. The first prerequisite for following Jesus as a true disciple is denying yourself. And one of the hardest things to deny yourself of is feeling self-pity when you have been hurt and done wrong. And yet, Jesus was lied about. He was literally called Beelzebub. He was called the Prince of Devils, the Lord of the Flies that gather around dead things. And it was said of him when he was helping people through his miracles that he did all this by the power of Satan instead of the power of God. Friend of mine, he went through it all, but he stayed focused. I love that great song that said when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. It's the only thing other than the Father's will and purpose that could have held him there. It's his great love for you and his great love for me. When I think of me and all the things that I have been through, the people who have let me down, the people who have lied about me, the people who have hurt me, people who have threatened to kill me, people who have cursed my family, spoke so many nasty things that I had to change my phone number twice. One time had to call the sheriff's department because my life had been threatened so many times. For doing what? For doing what? For preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. For telling people what will send you to heaven and what will damn you to hell. Friend of mine, I believe every person on this planet needs to know what can take you to heaven and what can cause you to be lost. We need the truth today like we've never needed the truth. Will a violent reaction come from those who Satan is able to manipulate and motivate? Absolutely. It did against Jesus. It did against the Apostle Paul. It will against us. For all those that live godly shall suffer persecution. I can dwell on the persecution that has come through 40 years of ministry, or I can dwell on the one who has given me grace, given me peace, given me courage, given me comfort, given me consolation through it all. Oh, what a wonderful Savior that we serve today. I'm more committed now than ever before to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm more committed now to warn men of the judgment to come, but to tell them there's a great opportunity this very day to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. You see, in everything that I personally have experienced in life, I had to change my focus. Paul put it this way in another place in the New Testament. He said, forgetting the things. See, this is that looking away before we can look to. Forgetting the things which are behind. The past is past, friend. Amen. It's gone. Turn it loose. Let it go. I know it hurts, but the only way for the pain to stop is to let it go. Let go and let God is not some cute little cliche. It is a very, very profound truth. If we let it go and let God, God will give us peace, purpose, and power in our life. Amen. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? You know, there's someone laying in the hospital right now that they don't have the years that you're about to waste. They don't have them. They don't have but months, maybe weeks to live. And if they had the opportunity you have to live their life, I believe they would live it to the fullest if they were given the opportunity. You know something? I believe God right now is giving somebody somewhere that's hearing this message an opportunity to live the rest of your life not in pain and discouragement and despair and despondency, but to live the rest of your life to the fullest. Praise God. If you can just forget those things that are behind by breaking the focus on yourself and setting your focus upon Jesus. And Jesus in a particular way, Jesus on the cross, suffering, dying, suffering the persecution and the hate of sinners against himself that didn't see his desire to save them. Listen, friend, as he died on that cross, and I focus upon his suffering and his love that held him to that tree, I can't simultaneously have a pity party for me. All I can do is say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So what keeps me going on when 1,700 pastors leave the ministry in America alone every month? Upwards of 20,000 a year will walk away from the pulpit discouraged, despondent, and disillusioned. And some of them, yes, I agree, maybe were never truly called of God. But it takes more than the call of God. The appointment and the anointing that comes with it, it takes more. It takes being able to focus away from the things that hurt us, cause us pain and discourage us, onto Jesus, who loves us, who gave his life on the cross for us. Praise God. I just can't have the poor old me's when I'm focused upon the one who died for me and suffered such a death to redeem my soul. I just want to praise him. I want to proclaim him. I want to tell everybody I know what Jesus can do for them because of what Jesus has done for me. God, indeed, is our refuge. But it doesn't stop with God being our refuge. Amen. He is also our strength. Praise God. God is our refuge and he is our strength. And it's this wonderful truth to claim for our own because nothing saps our energy like a crisis. Trials drain us and make us feel as if we simply can't go on. Well, throughout his word, God promises to give us strength we need to get through the trying times. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. One translation said, I can face any crisis through him who gives me strength. And this psalm echoes this truth. God is the source of power and comfort for those who are facing any battle of life. Friend of mine, I want you to know today that in your life, no matter what you are facing, God is your refuge. He wants you to come to him. In fact, he wants you to run to him. Don't run from him, even when your failure has contributed to your folly, when your own bad decision has brought you into this place of such trouble. God wants you to come to him. God wants you to run to him. Don't run from him. Run to him. He can't be a refuge for the people that are running from him. He can only be a refuge for the people that run to him. You know, in the old days when God's power was the focus of those in ministry, we realized Satan would try to blind and bind people from coming to Jesus. It had to have a powerful impact. The gospel had to free and liberate that soul who wanted to be free. And it is said when George Whitefield, one of the great preachers of that era and that time, not so many, many years ago, when we were not so self-confident and self-assured that we can get it done without this this yoke-breaking anointing and power, this work of the Holy Spirit exclusive to Him. That people would come running to altars, not walking tentatively, wondering, is it worth it? Can I really follow Christ? Is He worth it? No, they came running. Some people described what was going on. They were under such conviction of the Holy Spirit and such a desire to be free from that prison of fear and that prison of pain and hurt and shame. It said they ran to altars as if the powers of hell were licking at their heels and they might draw their last breath before they had the opportunity to receive Christ. Friend, I believe that we need to see a shaking revival where people do not sit and weigh their sin against their soul. They don't understand what they're doing when they're saying, my soul and its salvation and its security, its peace is not worth giving up this sin. And I'm not talking about salvation by works, but you can't serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. You will hate one and love the other. You can't serve God Himself or God and Mammon. But friend, today you can serve God with your whole heart, your whole life. And you can do it because He sets you free from that law of sin and death. God can become your refuge because of the shame and pain that sin has brought into your life. But you've got to run to Him. Quit running from Him. I mean the devil, what a lie he tells us. Keep running from God. Don't let Him catch you. He'll save you. He will deliver you. He will set you free. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. He will give you peace that passes understanding, living water, so that that thirst is quenched and fulfilled in Christ. And you won't have to keep looking through sin that is causing pain and destruction, disrupting your marriage, your life, putting you in fear and shame. Ah, friend, don't run from God. Run to Him and confess every sin that you've ever committed. Amen. And repent. Say, Lord, I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. I need a refuge for my soul. I don't want to live with the fear of death and particularly what happens after death, the judgment to come. I want to live in faith, comfort, and consolation. Today my life, my past is gone. Hallelujah. All the pain that it was pouring into my life is gone. Forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, the Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Today, if you don't know Jesus, come to Him. Come to Him. He's the only one rich enough to buy back your past, throw it away, and give you a future that is bright, beautiful, and glorious, eternal, and without end. Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, today, if come to Him and accept Him as your Lord and personal Savior. Today, if you're a Christian and you haven't set your gaze upon Jesus, you've been debilitated, diverted, and you're now being defrauded of the great, wonderful purpose He has called you to. Today is the day of your deliverance. Look away, look away, look away from what is distracting you. And look to the One who is hanging on the cross because He loved you that much. Amen. And let's go forward in Christ. Well, we love you. This is the centering time for the Church of Jesus Christ to look to Jesus like we've never looked to Jesus. That's why we're on the air. So we to help you do just that. So would you please come back next week. And let's talk about Jesus.